Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Hope things have been going well this week. Just like to wish all the moms a happy Mother's Day. I hope all you are spoiled by your families today. Have a great time just spending time with each other. So I'd like to just open with prayer as we start today. Father God, we just thank you for this time that we get to come together and worship, even though of the distance and all that. But God, you are still here, you are still with us, you're still bringing us together, and we're just so grateful for this opportunity. Just thank you for everything that you've been doing. Thank you for how you've kept us, God, how you've provided for us, and how, God, because of you, God, we have that assurance, God, that we live, God, not in fear, God, but with hope. We thank you. Let's pray, God, as we just spend some time just worshiping, but listening to your word, God, you will just, God, open our hearts. It's our homes, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Presence is all I need, it's all I want, and all I seek, and without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need, and without it. Without it, I'm not living. Yeah. Your presence is all I need, it's all I want, and all I seek, and without. There's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need. And without it, without it, I'm not living. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord, for there is no one like you, God. And I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted. All I need, it's all I want. and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all praise, and there will be no one like you, and no one beside. Beauty is all that I long for. To worship you, Jesus, is my sole desire. For this very heart you have shaped for your pleasure and purpose to live your name high. Here in surrender, in pure adoration, I enter your courts with an offering of praise. I am your servant, come to bring you glory as it's fit for the work of your hand. Now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. And all of creation resounds with the song and worship. Thank you. dwelling within me. Keep my eyes fixed ever on Jesus' face. Let not the things of this world ever sway me, not until I finish the race. And now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. And all of creation resounds with the song, worship and praise Him, the Lord. Now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. And all of eternity echoes the song, worship and praise Him, the Lord of Lords. And holy Lord, You are holy. And Jesus Christ is Lord. And holy Lord, You are holy. And Jesus Christ is Lord. And holy Lord, You are holy. Now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. And all of creation resounds with the song, worship and praise the Lord. Now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. Call all the sinners to join in the song and worship and praise Him, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Lords. God, You are our King, You are our Lord, You have everything in control, yes You do, God. That's why we come to You, our hearts will be full of praise, because we know You are strong enough to save, Jesus, You are. God, we thank You. Oh, and oh, how we love You, Jesus. Bless this time together. Be with us, God. Give us strength. All we truly need, God, is You. Just You.
Good morning. I'd like to wish Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I hope that you will get to enjoy this special day and feel honored and loved. For some, it's been a very challenging week. Some have gone through transition, while others have continued to manage the many different facets of working from home. The title of the message today is Unity Through Humility. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth that we read about how you came to earth, humbled yourself to the point of obedience, of going to the cross. God, we pray that as we have been loved, and as we have received love from you, we would truly love. And you would teach us how to be united and unified in sharing your love with the world. I pray that this would ring true in our lives, in our relationships, in our family, that we would practice, God, what your word says. And we thank you for this time, this special day that we can all come together and seek you. Open up your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The background of the book of the Philippians. Philippi was a culturally diverse Roman city, which held the elite status of being a Roman colony. The church at Philippi was comprised of a diverse background of believers, especially the poor. The New Testament specifically mentions three early church converts, including a businesswoman named Lydia, who sold purple cloth to the rich, a slave girl who had previously been a fortune teller, and a Roman jailer who asked Paul how to be saved when Paul remained by his side in prison after an earthquake. All three had been greatly impacted by Paul's ministry and helped form the church. Some commentators believe that 11 years had passed between the time the church in Philippi was founded and Paul's penning of this letter. By this time, Paul had already spent a considerable amount of time in prison in Rome. Although the Philippian church had displayed a great deal of love towards each other and towards Paul, Paul desired for them to move towards a deeper level of Christ-like love and understanding. He wanted the church to experience a greater measure of God so they could fully mature in love. Today, I'll be sharing four themes from Philippians chapter 2. One of the main focuses of the opening verses of Philippians chapter 2 is Paul's concern for the unity in the church. He wanted to challenge them to come together and be united in sharing the gospel. He shared his own challenges to motivate them. Paul uses the Greek word synatheo, which means striving together, as in an athletic contest. Paul asks the church to compete together like a team of athletes to help advance the gospel. There was a potentially divisive dispute happening between two of the church members. In order to overcome disputes, love and great humility are required. On a team, if players don't look out for each other's best interests, selfishness will arise. If only one person is working to their capacity, it is not sustainable. That player will become tired, and other members won't grow. In order to further illustrate the teamwork attitude that Paul wanted the church members to have in sharing the gospel, he uses the terms like-minded, one accord, same love that Christ had, and unity of spirit. Like-minded can be referred to as being humble, not having to be in control of every situation, not always having to be right. Being in one accord, having the same love that Christ had, and unity of spirit. As one grows in the church, they will help others to grow. Paul spoke about each church member praying for each other. The prayer of one believer for another believer is effective because it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 speaks of this. The second theme Paul explained in this letter is Christ's affection for the church and Paul's own affection for the church. In Philippians 2, 1, Paul asks, what is the spiritual benefit from being united with Christ? What happens when we receive his affection? In Philippians 2:2, Paul writes that communion with Christ results in encouragement. In John chapter 14:18, we read that communion with Christ results in comfort. Jesus said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A mother's love is a good example of Christ's love for his children. According to psychologist Jordan Peterson, when a mother gives birth to a child, the chemistry of her brain changes. She becomes more protective, more loving, and is also more vulnerable as her emotion increases for her child. She looks out for her child's interests above her own. She makes many sacrifices for the well-being of her child. In Philippians 2, verse 7, Paul writes, "Jesus looked out for our interest first. He gave up his divine privileges, took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience and died a criminal's death on a cross." Paul experienced great comfort from the affection he received from Christ. And in turn, Paul experienced great love for the Philippian church. He wrote in Philippians 1:8, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ." Ancient audiences understood the word affection as bowels, the center of deepest feelings. Paul's feeling for the church were the same of Jesus, the same of Jesus' feelings, who loved them and died for them. Paul also desired that the church would experience the same love for each other. In Philippians 2:3, Paul reminded the believers of the mercy they have received from Christ. The Greek word for mercy is defined as compassionate desires that develop in response to a situation and that stimulate a person to meet needs in that situation. An article by Scotty Andrew about the effects of COVID on teenagers and children stated that when children are young, they release most of their frustration and tension on their parents. Parents become a buffer for young children to absorb a lot of their frustration. On the other hand, teenagers turn to their friends to release their frustration and emotions. At every stage of our lives, we were created to be in community with others, to absorb, to listen, and to be a channel of God's compassion and love. We were created to comfort each other. Paul was believing for a deeper love for the Philippians than what they had experienced. In Philippians 1:9, he writes, "I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." He defines knowledge as intimate understanding based on a relationship with a person, founded on the knowledge of God. He prays for the church's advance in knowledge and perception and judgment. And all of these represent a more thoughtful way to work with people, a more thoughtful way to talk to people, and a more thoughtful side of Christian character. Jesus spent his time building close relationships with people. He didn't only preach about it, but he modeled it in his lifestyle. How many of us have been encouraged by a relationship that we have, by a phone call from someone else? And how much did it mean to us when someone thought of us? Sometimes we still find it easier to look out for our own interests first, overlooking the needs of others. But a lot of good came out of those moments when we humbled ourselves and took the time to check on someone else to see how they were doing. In the past, the Philippian church had demonstrated their partnership in the gospel with Paul. But in this letter, he was pointing out their need to continue to grow in knowledge and discernment. One of the purposes of increasing in love is to be able to evaluate people and situations correctly, to have more discernment when speaking to people in difficult situations. The final theme of this book is humility, Christ's example of humility. Paul uses Christ as the greatest example of humility for believers to follow. In Philippians 2:3, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done from selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than oneself." When a person serves with lowliness of mind, we will take an honest evaluation of ourselves. Reflecting, praying, and honestly evaluating self will lead to a deepened sense of personal humility. When we esteem someone else, we will also assess our own lives. This will lead to us valuing other people more than ourselves. The nature of the flesh always leads us away from God and towards self. God has to keep patiently bringing us back to himself, humbling us to serve others rather than our own self-interest. Unity must remain sincere in the midst of being humbled. Sometimes as a parent, you may wonder if anyone is looking into your needs. You may even ask yourself, "What about me?" At certain times, you may even feel threatened and concerned that you might be taken advantage of by others. Paul was admonishing the church to resist a "what about me" attitude. He didn't carry this attitude. He saw setbacks not as a lack of God's love for him. But when the church in Philippi was planted with three people, a young girl who he cast demons out of, he was subsequently beaten and flogged and treated like a criminal. He chose to trust rather than adopting a self-pity attitude. He was thrown in jail along with Silas. And an earthquake happened, and Paul didn't leave. The jailer was so touched by Paul's actions when he stayed in prison and didn't run away when the earthquake struck. Paul saw the challenges of life as part of God's sovereign plan for him. And the Roman jailer was deeply impacted by Paul's trust and love. When failure or crisis comes, it is easy to turn and blame others for all that's gone wrong. In Philippians 1:10, Paul prays that the church would live sincere lives without offense. The purpose of increasing in love, being controlled by knowledge, is to be able to sincerely evaluate situations and people correctly. We will be able to love people with pure hearts and not tainted, without offense. Paul conveys the sense of not lashing out at someone else or not leading others into sin with one's own behavior when things go wrong. Rather than blame others, we can assess the situation with sincerity and clarity and evaluate ourselves. Human nature is to focus on changing other people, but humility begins as we evaluate our own behavior and seek to change ourselves. God is a merciful God. As many times as we fail him in our day, he doesn't throw us away. He gives us chance after chance to repent and be restored until we are truly likened to his image. As we close, I want to leave you with three questions for reflection. Number one, what are ways that I can grow in unity with others in Christ's purposes for my life? Number two, has God been trying to humble me in certain ways by situations that are happening? Am I allowing this process? And number three, how can God's humbling process in my life help me to trust God, to not look out only for my own self-interest? Let's pray. God, we know that embracing your love in difficult moments, in difficult days, will lead to unity with our families, not blaming others, not adopting an attitude of self-pity, but knowing that your love will carry us. We can trust that we don't have to be in control of every situation, that you said that you would never leave us as orphans, and you are sovereign over every situation. God, we want to submit to your humbling process. We want to become that unified church that serves as a team, that works together in unity with your spirit and others, that we could learn what it means to share the gospel together as a church, as a team. God, sometimes we feel that we're very far away from where we need to be. But I pray that we would not look just to our own self-interest, but we would care for others, trusting that as we care for others, you will take care of every need that we have. Even at this moment, you are caring for us, and you asked us to humble ourselves and care for those that don't have the fellowship and the community that is founded in Christ. God, we pray that you would carry us through this next season, and we would change, God, wherever we are. We thank you for this day, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.